From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
Gamine in the final furlong, now at the 16th pole. Gamine, John Velasquez, rolling on home to win the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. All Gamine.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Swiss Skydiver digs in at the rail. Authentic on the outside. These two putting on a show. The Derby winner and the Filly. Swiss Skydiver inside. Authentic outside. They're nose to nose. All the way to the wire. And it is going to be a photo finish.
Here's Whitmore striding forward for the lead in the final furlong of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. What a day in the career of this 7-year-old. Whitmore, Erod Ortiz Jr. have won the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to another loaded edition of the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, and it's all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, excited to be back in the saddle with the HRN Nation on this Saturday morning. My thanks to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, for taking the reins the past couple of weekends. You, of course, are tuned into the show throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or you're listening digitally with our live streaming or the podcast of the show on our HRRN website, and of course, you're doing that at horseracingradio.net. Well, 19 shopping days until December 25th, and only 16 days until the official start of winter, which happens on December 21st. But there's a few of the major winter race meets already underway, namely Fairgrounds Aqueduct and Gulfstream. The first weekend of Gulfstream's championship meet is highlighted by the Blue Collar Breeders' Cup, if you will. I remember the past few years when we were down there broadcasting the Claiming Crown races, you would always look at it as a day for the horses that are the true backbone of the sport of thoroughbred racing, the horses that compete at much lower levels than we're used to seeing on Saturday afternoons. And this is their day, their Breeders' Cup. 9 stakes races run under starter allowance conditions, all restricted to horses who have competed for a designated claiming price over a certain period of time, thus the Claiming Crown. Trainer Mike Maker has saddled more winners of the Claiming Crown than any trainer in history. He's won 17 of these races, and there's a pretty good chance that he pads that number later today. 11 horses entered across 9 Claiming Crown stakes for trainer Mike Maker. Yeah, should be tough to beat in those races today. You also have Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile runner-up Jesus' team returning as the morning line favorite in the Claiming Crown Jewel. This race, how about this? This race expected to be his prep for the $3 million Pegasus World Cup on January 23rd. Prepping in the Claiming Crown, I love it. And you might be saying, all right, wait a minute, Baron. Hold on. This little layoff you're coming off here of the past couple of weeks, this has just fried your brain. How on earth is a grade one placed horse like Jesus' team eligible to compete in the Claiming Crown? Well, go back a little bit. He wasn't always grade one placed. He wasn't always this caliber. Jesus' team won a claiming race for maidens at Gulfstream last March. That's right. He broke his maiden for a $32,000 maiden claimer. At that point, he was trained by Jose Garofalo. He is now in the care of another Venezuelan-born trainer. That's Jose Francisco D'Angelo. And Jose Francisco D'Angelo is going to be with me coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern time. He'll be followed by Acacia Courtney, Gulfstream Park analyst at 9:20, and Eric Hamelbeck, the CEO of the National HBPA, at 9:40. So you'll get plenty of Claiming Crown conversation in the second half of the show. And this is a popular card. It has been a popular card for horse players for several years. Total handle for the Claiming Crown has surpassed $10 million each of the past 5 years. And that was topped by a record $13.8 million in 2019. It's popular. It's popular because you get large fields, competitive fields, and I think you get good value in these races because of the way that the races are put together, the structure, the horses that can compete. You hear me talk about Jesus's Team, a grade one placed horse. Yeah, he's the morning line favorite. He looks like a standout on paper. But like everyone else in there, yes, he's gone on to do some big things. He started, or at one point competed, for a tag, for a claiming price. So I think when people, handicappers, start to look at this, it can be a really challenging puzzle to figure out. And I think that's part of the reason, much like the Breeders' Cup, that you get good handle on this particular card. Not to mention the fact that it's always, at least it has been traditionally now, opening weekend of that Gulfstream Championship meet, and everybody looks forward to that meet too. And by the way, how about this? Kudos to Butler, who is the COO of First Racing and president of First Content. That's, of course, a new version of ExpressBet, if you will. ExpressBet is still out there, but First Bet, First Racing, kind of a new branding effort by the Stronach Group. Aiden Butler has eliminated the post-time drag. How cool is that? Mike Lakow, the vice president of racing operations at Gulfstream, said that the plan is to have horses entering the gate at post-time throughout the meet. What a novel concept. And let me tell you, as somebody who produces radio broadcasts for a living and has produced broadcasts of the Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth, and the Florida Derby the past, 12, 14 years here on the network? When you get a situation where you don't know when they'll actually go off and you're trying to structure a broadcast, let me tell you, it presents a few challenges. Now, we always worked around that and got pretty good at working around it. But think about this. The frustration of horse players with all of the different simulcast signals, and you're watching Gulfstream and all of a sudden it says that post time is 1:40. And it's 1:52 and the horses are still circling behind the gate. And you're trying to keep up with other racetracks and other races. Now you might be running on top of each other. This is huge. This is the way it should be. And I have said that for many, many years. My former co-host here on the Equine Forum, Jude Feld, came up with the saying that post times are merely a suggestion at Gulfstream. Not anymore. Kudos to them for eliminating that post time drag. And I think everybody, horse players, horsemen, everybody across the board going to be happy with that decision. You also have the last U.S. Grade 1 race until opening day at Santa Anita the day after Christmas. That takes place today at Aqueduct, the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Formerly the Naira Mile, renamed years ago for the Hall of Famer Cigar. It's one of four graded stakes on their card today. And it's accompanied by the Remsen for the two-year-old boys, the Demoiselle for the two-year-old fillies, and the Gopher Juan for the older fillies and mares. Shug McGahee has Performer, who is the 7-5 morning line favorite in the field of nine in that Cigar Mile. Figures to get a pretty stiff test from Firenze Fire, who is coming out of his third-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And maybe even from King Guillermo. Remember him? Some people were saying he was a potential upsetter, or maybe even one of the favorites in the Kentucky Derby before his campaign was derailed right before the race. Owned by Major League Baseball All-Star Victor Martinez. He's back in action in the Cigar Mile today. Jockey Joel Rosario has never lost a board performer. He's a perfect 5 for 5. And he's going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern time to talk about that race, his strategy, breaking from the inside post in a big field. How does he handle that situation? He's been there many, many times. One of the premier riders in the game today. He'll be here at 8:35. And then I'm going to preview all 4 greatest stakes with NYRA analyst Maggie Wolfendale. We'll do that in just about 5 minutes. 8:15, we'll kick off the show with Maggie. So here's what's coming up. I know I kind of reset the show or set up the show in reverse order for you today. Maggie comes up at 8:15. Joelle, 8:35. 9 o'clock, Jose Francisco D'Angelo talking about Jesus's team. Acacia Courtney at 9:20. Eric Hamelback, 9:40. Busy, busy program today. Poll question at HRN. On Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook is how you can weigh in on today's poll question. Let's keep it simple. Who is your pick to win today's Cigar Mile? And we'll give you 4 choices. You can take Performer, Firenze Fire, King Guillermo, and then the 4th category will be Other. And if you choose that one, let me know who you think is a likely upsetter in there, because anybody other than those 3 is going to be a bit of an upset. Performer, Firenze Fire, King Guillermo, or Other. Who is your pick to win today's Cigar Mile at Aqueduct? All right, a lot of things to get to here this morning. I'll update the poll question as we move throughout the 2 hours. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
10 Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Moving toward the quarter pole, and Cigar is the leader. It's Cigar in front. Storm Tower second. Devil Is Due right there third. American Chance is now fourth on the outside as the field turns for home, and it is Cigar. Cigar coming to mid-stretch with a 5-length lead. Devil Is Due second, American Chance, and then Punchline on the far outside. They're coming down to the final 16th, and Cigar running a monstrous race today to win the NYRA Mile. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. Some vintage Tom Durkin with the call of Cigar winning the NYRA Mile in 1994. And you remember Cigar, a Hall of Famer, nearly $10 million in purse earnings for his career. As a matter of fact, how about this? You can't get much closer. $9,999,815 to his credit. And the Maryland-bred son of Palace Music just became an absolute monster when he was moved to the main track for trainer Bill Mott. And that win in the Naira Mile in 94 was the second in the sequence of that remarkable win streak by Cigar. And I have to say this because I say it every time I bring up Cigar's name. You never would have heard of Cigar if Holy Bull stayed healthy, but that's a sidebar to this whole story. But he did go on, and he did win the Don Handicap over Holy Bull when Holy Bull got hurt and all those kind of things. But this is a really, really amazing racehorse, and what he did, until Zenyatta came along, you couldn't even think about this happening again. Well, Maggie Wolfendale is in New York. She is an analyst for the New York Racing Association. She works on the Fox Sports broadcast, and she's with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Maggie, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am well, and even better when I take a look at the card at Aqueduct today. First of all, what's the conditions there, the track conditions, the weather? How do things look at Aqueduct today?
Do you really want to know?
Oh, no.
It's not pleasant, to say the least. It's been raining pretty hard for the last 4 hours, I'd say. And so we are definitely looking at a sloppy track, and we're off the turf for the lone turf race that we did have carded today. So no more turf in New York until 2021.
Yeah, this would have been the last day of turf racing. Sorry to lose it in this fashion. That storm system just kind of making its way up the East Coast now. I guess it's a little bit early. It's only 8:15 Eastern time. We haven't gotten the scratch information yet. But when you look at the sloppy track, do you immediately start going through and shifting all your handicapping around?
Absolutely. You'd have to think that there's going to be some defections, too, from our featured grade one Cigar Mile, because the connections of Firenze Fire, for instance, have consistently said that after running on sloppy tracks twice this year that they're not going to try it again. So I would think that Firenze Fire would scratch. I don't know, you know, for sure. And then Mind Control, he has not run well on sloppy tracks either. So unfortunately, it does look as though we'll see possibly some scratches from the feature, but yes, you have to automatically adjust to the track conditions.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and walk through the four graded stakes. And again, keeping in mind that some of the horses we talk about here, because the scratches have not been officially announced yet, they could come out, but let's talk about it as if everybody's going to stay in. The first is race number four. It's the Remsen grade two for the two-year-old boys. And it's so early on the card because it's only a five-horse field. So let's hope that this one stays intact.
Yes, I'm praying that it does. I know. I thought there would be some other contenders in here. There was a rumor that Speaker's Corner, the highly regarded horse for Godolphin and Bill Mott, was going to be in here, though he didn't show up. But you would have to think that, you know, looking at the five in here, given the track condition, it kind of elevates 10 for 10 a bit.
Yeah, you would think so, right? I mean, it's a horse that, first of all, by Frosted, right? A two-year-old son of Frosted, Shug McGahee, the trainer of 10 for 10, has that huge win on a sloppy track where he broke his maiden at Belmont on October 16th, ran off to win by 8 that day. So if indeed he is that caliber and he takes to the wet track, he could be very tough. And there he's 2-1 on the morning line.
Well, he's the only one that has experience over a wet track. And I think that always makes a horse, it's just easier for a horse to deal with it, and the fact that he relished it against that maiden field, it makes him look more appealing. There's, look, picking time, the son of Stay Thirsty, who ran well in the slot, so I don't think there's any reason that we would think that Picking Time, who's likely to be the second choice in here, or third choice, depending on what Known Agenda is, for him to dislike it, and neither was Known Agenda. So given pedigrees, I think the three main contenders in here, they should all handle the wet going.
Yeah, you know, Maggie, one of the things that always impresses me when you tune in and you see you on the broadcast or whatever it might be, whether it's the Naira show or the Fox Sports show, you're in the paddock and you start looking at the horses when they come in, and you're very, very good at taking confirmation and saying, okay, here's a horse that is maybe a little bit light or is really robust and should handle this and should do this. And most of the time, you're spot on. So when you're sitting here now on a Saturday morning and you don't have the image of these horses in the paddock in front of you, we're talking about a sloppy track. We're talking about young two-year-old horses in this Remsen. Are you strictly just looking at pedigree and saying, okay, this is a horse that may or may not handle the slop just based on pedigree? Is that the only thing you can do?
Yeah, well, you can kind of look at them. And actually, besides the long shot in here, Erewhon, I know what all these horses look like. Pickin' Time, yeah. He, you know, from going back to my notes, and I've just seen most of these horses run recently, he looks as though he's a horse who should handle it. Now, on the flip side, Known Agenda, while he does have some pedigree, like I was saying, although the dam was a turf horse, he's a big, heavy horse. I don't know necessarily if he physically looks at least like a horse that should, you know, handle it as well as Pickin' Time or 10 for 10. So I kind of, okay. You know, since I know these horses well, I've seen them recently, in going by what typically plays out with horses that look as though they physically will handle wet tracks, I can kind of judge before even seeing them in the paddock today.
All right, so that's the Remsen. Again, race number 4. It goes early on that 10-race program today. Post time for the Remsen, 1 o'clock Eastern. The Gopher Wand is the second of the 4 greatest stakes. Grade 3, this one for the older fillies and mares. Again, not a big field. 1 mile on that main track and a field of 6 set to go. Big favorite from the inside post. That's Nona Madeline, who is 4-5 for Todd Pletcher.
The class is up. Hands and shoulders above this field. She was a little bit disappointing for me last time. I thought she'd run a bit better than what she did going back to the grade 3, turn back the alarm behind Royal Flag and Mrs. Orb. But in a way, I know she's run fast going around the 2 turns this year, but thinking about her physically too, I like the 1 turn mile for her getting back to that today. Sharp Star ran a huge number and blowing out a overmatched field of New York bred first level allowance horses. I mean that 101 kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, but it's a complete outlier to the rest of her form. I don't see anybody beating Nona Madeline today.
Yeah, she could be very tough from that inside post. And again, 4-5, John Velasquez, Todd Pletcher, how many times have they teamed up to win big races? We'll see them as a duo in action with the favorite in there. Race number 9, the race preceding the Cigar Mile. It's the penultimate race on the program today, 3:44 Eastern, the Grade 2 Demoiselle, and a solid field in here. Again, you have a 4-5 favorite. Who else? Todd Pletcher, John Velasquez, and they're going to break from post 1.
Yeah. Todd looking for his 6th win in the Demoiselle. I kind of went down the rabbit hole a little bit in this race, Mike, and looking back to his first win in the Demoiselle. You know who it was?
Ashado. Who was it? No.
So, a dual champion. So, he does have a firm hold on how to win this race. And Malafat, I thought about maybe I could suss out somebody who could beat her. But looking back and watching her 2 races and thinking about, you know, what she looked like in the paddock before, what she looked like in the winner's circle after, I just got the sense from her, Mike, that she just breathed different air than most of the horses that she'd faced in those 2 races. And I just think she's ultimately better than what she's going to face again today. Now, granted, she faces another daughter of Curlin, and the jury's still out, I think, on how to say this. Because I'm terrible at French, at least my jury, and Milfoy or Milfay for Bill Mott, for Judmont. I think she got some ideal setups in both of her races where she finished 2nd, first time out behind American West, who was 2nd to Malafat in the attempted, a long way 2nd. She got to save ground in both of those Belmont races and got perfect rides by Joelle Rosario. She's talented. I just don't think she's quite as good yet as Malafat.
Well, speaking of Joelle Rosario, he's going to be aboard the favorite in the Cigar Mile, at least the morning line favorite performer. We'll talk about him in just a second. But, Maggie, I wanted to resurrect this soundbite from Bill Mott, since it is Cigar Mile Day and we are honoring the great cigar on this Saturday afternoon. In 2012, Bill joined myself and Jude Feld on our Trainer Talk program, and he spent a half hour with us and spent a lot of time talking about, you know, his favorite cigar memories, and he talked about, you know, going to Dubai and winning the inaugural Dubai World Cup in 96 and a couple of MASCAP wins and the Citation Challenge at Arlington. But there was one memory in particular that stood out to him, and this is it.
I remember we unloaded and we were in the barn. We were in Shoemaker's barn out in California when we took him out there, and people walking around. We had guards at both ends of the barn just, you know, to keep people from going through. But some girl had come through with a clipboard, looked very important. You know, everybody probably thought, well, maybe she's with the racetrack. Who knows? She's with media publicity. I guess you can, if you take a clipboard and a pen and walk through someplace, you can almost get anywhere. This girl was walking through, the cigar had been put in his stall, and this girl was walking through the shedro, and, you know, nobody paid too much attention to her, and all of a sudden she got the cigar stall, and she ducked under the webbing, grabbed a handful of feces and put them in a jar and ran out of the stall, ran out of the other end of the barn, and it was like, did anybody else see that? Do we really believe what we just saw? And so it was, you know, there were some pretty strange things that happened, but I didn't know that, you know, people were quite into those type of souvenirs. But I guess, you know, rather than a lock of his hair or, you know, a horseshoe that came off of him during one of his big races.
Yeah, how about a bridle?
Enough. They got, something hot. They got something that was, you know, hot and warm. Hot, you know, with a nice aroma.
That's Hall of Famer Bill Mott. Maggie, I had to play that for you. I don't know if you've ever heard him tell that story, but, we can all picture that, right? You see people walking around the backside in the mornings, and that was as bizarre a story as I've ever heard from any trainer.
I mean, that's just how much Cigar was a rock star. I mean, that's something you would think a story of, like, Motley Crue, some girl doing that backstage. You know, that's a fan of theirs, but that's just how big of a rock star Cigar was. And I definitely thought he was going to say she pulled out scissors and cut off some of his tail, but that was not what I was expecting him to say. That is a bizarre story.
Yeah, just, you know, and look, I mean, he was a rock star, and that's a great analogy, too. Somebody sneaking backstage at a rock concert, hopefully not looking for that same souvenir.
Hopefully.
How about a guitar pick? Let's just take that for starters. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about the Cigar Mile then. Race 10, it's that early post time, you know, because of the conditions and things getting dark early. 4:13. A sloppy track on tap for the horses today. Who do you like in the Cigar Mile?
Huh. Performer is much the horse to beat. I have lots of respect for him, though. He's been very lightly raced this year, and to no fault necessarily 100% of his own. As Shig McGahee, he was supposed to come back in the Carter, which was our opening weekend up at Belmont, and unfortunately he wrenched his ankle. It took him a long time to get back to the races, so he didn't run for 11 months, and now it's only his second start. Yes, he met a overmatched field last time, but he won Under Wraps by Joel Rosario, and he's a very talented horse. I've been a fan of his from the get-go, as he does look for his sixth win in a row, five for six lifetime so far. I think Mr. Buff could be very dangerous here. Now, like I said, it's hard for me to imagine that Firenze Fire and Mind Control are going to run. But still, even if they do run, they have consistently shown that these types of conditions aren't favorable for them. So I'm downgrading them a lot today. But Mr. Buff, he is searching for that elusive graded, open graded stakes company win, and he's tried several times to no avail. And I do think he is a little bit better maybe going longer. He seems to be able to unravel that massive stride. I mean, Mr. Buff is a 17-1 hand horse, and it's kind of cool. He's the son of Friend or Foe, who was campaigned by John Kimmel and Chester Mary Broman, and I believe he only covered four mares, I want to say, in 2013, and one of them was Mr. Buff, now a millionaire, and I think they would just be icing on the cake for this six-year-old gelding to get that elusive graded stakes win, a grade one nonetheless, in the Cigar Mile. And really looking at it, unless somebody really wants to challenge him, he could be in front here, or he should be in front here. So I know there's horses coming out of sprint races, but he is one that is just consistently faster than anybody else in the first few strides of the race. So I think Mr. Buff has a legitimate shot of upsetting this field today.
Yeah, and the last time he was on a sloppy racetrack, it was at Aqueduct back on January 25th, and he won the Jazzle and did it easily by five. This is a much tougher test, but he certainly has a right to run well over a sloppy track on this particular surface. King Guillermo comes back after missing the Kentucky Derby. I talked about him at the top of the show. It'll be good to see him back in action. We'll see what he can do, and a lot of different ways to go if you don't like Performer. Hopefully the field stays intact. Again, sloppy track at Aqueduct, going to be raining throughout the afternoon. Maggie, just before I let you go, I've got about 30 seconds. Set up what's ahead for you guys today on the coverage.
We begin our coverage at 3 o'clock, so that starts off with the eighth race today. It's a state bred A other than for the Phillies and Mares. And we also have the Demoiselle and obviously the Cigar Mile on our show today. It is on MSG Plus. And looking forward to that, you can also check us out on the YouTube channel on Naira, YouTube channel, as well as on Naira Bets.
She's the best. She's Maggie Wolfendale here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Maggie, really do appreciate the visit this morning. And let me get this right. Maggie Wolfendale Morley. How's that? That sounds even better, doesn't it?
You made my husband very happy.
Exactly. You'll always be Maggie Wolfendale to me, but yeah, we got to give you your due here. Listen, really appreciate the visit, Maggie. As always, like all of our guests who appear on the program, this interview is brought to our listeners by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Go enjoy the day. Good luck today, and knock them dead at the windows.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great day, too.
All right, Maggie. Appreciate it here, the visit this morning. Jockey Joel Rosario is coming up next. He will ride the favorite Performer. We'll talk to him about breaking from the inside post. I'll talk to him about doing it on a sloppy racetrack. Is that a benefit? Well, we'll find out next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
To be labeled a Titan of the Turf is neither to be taken lightly nor a term to be recklessly bandied about. By anybody's measure or means, the subject of this piece has to be unqualifiedly classified as indeed a true titan of the turf. His lifetime spanned the administrations of American presidents Ulysses S. Grant through Lyndon Baines Johnson. And when he passed away in 1966 as a nonagenarian at the age of 92, a bright, sparkling light in the world of thoroughbred racing suddenly went dark. He was born in a small cottage in Brooklyn, New York, on July 23, 1874, on land, which later became part of the old Sheepshead Bay racetrack. At the age of 11, on the very day Grover Cleveland was inaugurated as president, he joined the racetrack colony as an errand boy for the Dwyer Brothers stable while sleeping in the loft. He became a jockey at the age of 16 and rode until 1901, when he switched to training. His last mount was a horse called Agnes D, who finished dead last in a field of five in the title stakes at Sheepshead Bay. The scales of justice were to be balanced, as it were, since Agnes D was the very first winner he saddled as a trainer a few races later, and with that win came the inception of an absolutely phenomenal career. Between 1907, when tabulated records began, and the end of his five-star career, he saddled 2,275 winners, including virtually every major stakes race east of the Mississippi. His inaugural stakes winner was Stargaze in the Merchants and Citizens Handicap in the Saratoga Cup. This guy only had a sixth-grade formal education, and he rode very poorly, but he trained thoroughbreds with unmatched success for the likes of Colonel E.V. D. Morrell, James F. Quincy Johnson, Ambassador Breckinridge Long, Senator Johnson Camden, William Woodward Sr. and Jr., Ogden Mills Phipps, Ogden Phipps, Edith Woodward Bancroft, Mrs. Whitney Sloan, dancer Vernon Castle, and a warden at the Sing Sing Prison, among many, many others. His horses, including Bold Ruler, Nashua, and Gallant Fox, won 470 stakes races. He often said his best distance horse had been Diabolo, and Johnstown his best sprinter. To this day, he's the only trainer with two Triple Crown winners to his credit, Gallant Fox and Omaha. Among other standouts he trained were Apache, Bassouet, Fighting Fox, Vagrancy, Bushanda, High Voltage, Misty Morn, Mary Lassie, and Happy Gal. The subject of this profile had another quite remarkable talent as well. He developed his own veterinary supplies for ailing horses, and he personally used them as well as prescribing them for others. Eddie Arcaro at one time had severe bursitis problems and very nearly quit riding as a result. But the man herein being profiled put Arcaro on a leg paint he had developed for horses. Now, Eddie may have had a horsey smell about him going postward, but it helped him put on many of those inimitable pumping, driving finishes going to the wire. Yes, indeed, he did have a way with riders. In the early 1900s, he took a young Hebrew rider under his tutelage whose name was Walter Miller. Miller had not ridden a single winner in 1907, his apprentice year, but in 1908 he won 388 races while under the tutorial guidance of our man. That 388 win record stood for 40 years. Hedley Woodhouse was the last to ride in the colors of our subject, red and orange. Woodhouse once apologized for giving one of his horses less than satisfactory a ride in a major stakes race, and our man replied, quote, "You couldn't have ridden him any worse than I would have." The man who went his way to meet the Grim Reaper in that great paddock in the sky at the nonagenarian age of 92 in 1966 won the Kentucky Derby 3 times, the Preakness 4 times, the Belmont 6 times, the Jockey Club Gold Cup 7 times, the Lawrence Realization, Wood Memorial, and Alabama Stakes 8 times, the Dwyer 9 times, and the Saratoga Cup a remarkable 10 times. He was the man who once said, quote, "When you're away from New York, you're camping out." The saga of this venerable monument to thoroughbred racing, worthy of a Homerian epic, and the stuff of which legends are crafted, was a legend in his own time. He was Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the man from Brooklyn.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires. Design that compels. And see, we've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington, and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top 5 general sire by the number of 2-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince is value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
Justify, a 4-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the 3-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Taxes moving up to challenge performer for the lead. Mubermarge is on the extreme outside. 3/4 went in 1:12-1 as the field comes into the stretch. It's performer and Tax, and the two of them are right together as they come down for the eighth pole. It's Tax on the outside, and it's performer on the inside, and a great duel here through the stretch. Performer and Tax. Performer has the lead. Tax on the outside, and it's a big performance from performer to win the discovery. Tax was second. Big break. Back to Grumps, Little Tots, and NYC.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in the saddle with you on this Saturday morning. Joel Rosario is going to be in the saddle aboard Performer. That was John Embryo with the call of the discovery. A couple starts back, a big win for Performer, who is the morning line favorite in today's Grade 1 Cigar Mile. And nobody better than Joel Rosario, especially aboard Performer. When you look at what he's done a perfect 5 for 5. They won 5 consecutive starts together. And one of the top jockeys in the game today. He has won more than 3,000 races, win number 3,000 coming just a short time ago. And that is a huge milestone for somebody who just has always done things the right way in his career. And I'm privileged to welcome in jockey Joel Rosario to the show this morning. Joel, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. You know, I always like to tell people the story of you initially wanting to be a baseball player, but you chose being a jockey instead. And I have to tell you, after 3,000 wins and more than $230 million in purse earnings, I think you made the right call.
Thank you so much. Yes, I that's exactly, you know, I always thought I was going to be a baseball player. Yes, I love baseball and, you know, also love the horses. So, but, you know, I, you know, find my way here with the horses and then, you know, here where I am.
Well, let's talk about we'll get to performer in just a minute, Joel, but let's talk about the past couple of seasons here. And, you know, you look at your resume and you see all of the greatest stakes wins and you see the Breeders' Cup wins and the Triple Crown races that you've won. Look, I mean, this has been a magical ride for you. What's been the thing that you're most proud of when you think about this career of yours?
I mean, pretty much, you know, everything, you know. I mean, I've just been blessed, you know, and how, you know, a lot of people who really helped me where I am, you know, and then, you know, just really blessed for, you know, thankful for, you know, for them, for the opportunity that they, you know, they give me in my, you know, for my career, and, you know, so, and stuff like that, so, yeah, very, 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 you know, very thankful for them.
Did you have a couple of jockeys maybe that you looked up to, Joel, when you were first getting started and say, hey, maybe someday I can get to that level? And, of course, you now have. Were there a couple of jockeys like that?
Well, you know, when I start riding, I would always look to, you know, a lot of, you know, riders, the way they're different, they ride, and stuff like that, and what they look in the saddle. And, you know, just the thing I, you know, thought in my head, you know, in that moment, I said, well, maybe one day I can, you know, be able to, you know, do the same like them, you know what I mean, or try to do and see if it worked, you know.
Yeah, it's worked. It's worked perfectly for you. Let's talk about performer today in the Cigar Mile. You're going to catch a sloppy racetrack. You've ridden that aqueduct surface many, many times, and you're going to break from the inside post. I mentioned that 5-for-5 record with the two of you. What's been the secret? Why have you just clicked with this horse, Joel?
I mean, you know, just the horse. I mean, the horse is good, you know, and then, you know, that, you know, they, and then it's, you know, I just say, I just always, just the passenger of the horse, you know, the horse is just, I mean, it's that good, take me, you know, to the winning circle, you know, so he just, he's a very talented horse, and, you know, I, and tell me any more thankful for, you know, should I get here, and then, you know, feel stable to, you know, give me the opportunity to ride a kind of, you know, horse like him.
What are some of the things that you'll have to keep in mind breaking from the inside post today?
I think I lost you, Mike. Sorry for a second there.
Yeah, no problem. What are some of the things, Joel, that you'll have to keep in mind as you break from the rail in that race today?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Some of the things that you'll have to keep in mind when you break from the rail today.
I mean, just let's see what Schumacher here has to say, and then and go for them, see how the horse break, you know, out of the gate, and then you know, he would show me, you know, what he exactly wants to do today, you know, so and stuff like that. So you know, to be on the inside, you know, a mile, you know, and with the weather today, we'll see what how he like it out, and see how we go, you know, see how he's, you know, he's the track at the moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, people don't realize that jockeys will wear multiple sets of goggles during a race. How many sets of goggles will you have on a sloppy day like today?
Sorry, Mike. I don't know if it's just my phone, but just keep cutting off.
No problem. So, Joel, people don't realize how many pairs of goggles jockeys will wear in a race. You'll wear several pairs of goggles. When it's sloppy like this,
yes.
How many pairs will you have today?
Well, I try to use less, you know, I mean, like, just not too much, you know, because sometimes when you have too much goggle, you know what I mean, it's kind of, you know, like you have to go one by one and stuff like that. But day like today, I probably use like probably four goggles for that race. Some jockeys, so they probably use probably five or six, you know. But me, I prefer to use less, you know, like if I can use maybe a day like today, I probably use four. So, you know, so
yeah,
just depending on the jockey, see how, you know, how he feels comfortable. I know sometimes it's, you know, it's hard because it's muddy and then hard to see, but just trying to work my way so I'm not hit, you know what I mean? That point.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. Joel Rosario with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Joel, listen, I know we're having some issues with the phone connection, so I'll let you go. I know you're trying to get to the racetrack now. All the best today. Safe trip, and good luck on all the horses, not just Performer. Safe trip aboard all those horses today, my friend.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for, you know, having me in the show. I very appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it. Joel Rosario here on HRRN. That interview, like all of our interviews, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And by the way, I mentioned just, 19 shopping days to Christmas. If you're looking for that perfect gift for the horse racing fan on your list, EmbraceTheRace.com. Go there now, and they will take care of you. My good friend Mike Dianzaris, his beautiful wife Jill, they will absolutely take care of you, no doubt about it. And hopefully I'll get a chance to catch up with Mike on the show next week and ask him about some of the holiday specials he'll be offering his customers. I didn't get a chance to ask Joel about the other horses he's riding. He's in all four graded stakes races, and just the phone connection, not great as he's traveling to Aqueduct today, but you know, you heard him talk about breaking from the inside post with Performer and how he'll handle that situation. We'll see. Maggie Wolfendale, Morley, when she joined me in the first half of the show there, said that she thinks that Performer is the horse to beat, at least on paper. And if you get a couple of scratches, could even help his chances maybe a little bit more. And that's why he is the morning line favorite. Yesterday, on our race day show presented by Twin Spires, the Big A caught up with trainer Shug McGahee to get his thoughts on Performer, and here's what he had to say about the morning line favorite.
Nice enough to join us now is his Hall of Fame trainer, Shug McGahee. Shug, thanks for some time today on race day.
Oh, you're welcome, Tony. Thanks.
So, Performer, 5-for-6, has done nothing wrong since his debut. He finished third in his debut, 5 in a row since. I know this wasn't meant to be his second start of the year. Talk to us a little bit about some of the things that's kept him off the racetrack until this long and some of the races he was supposed to run in earlier this year.
Well, he was ready to come up for the Carter, I think on April the 4th, Wood Day, and we had a van load of horses coming up here to run and about 2 weeks before that, and then Martin gave me a call and said, give me a couple hours. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So the COVID stopped racing for a while, and then it was kind of going back and forth, you know, back off of him, go on with him. And so when we got him in New York to run in the Carter, you know, he was in the next day. He was in, and then Thursday or Friday before, I was going to take him over, just school him in the paddock, and he had an ankle that jumped up on him, and, I didn't know what it was. He'd galloped that morning and was fine, and so that delayed us until the fall. We had to just do a little minor work on it. He just had some little kind of junk in there we had to take out, not really a chip or anymore, just like some shaving stuff, and that sort of put us behind, and then you know, he kind of went back. He went back a little farther than I thought he would. So, you know, I just kept telling myself, "Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry." And so we got him back to the races in October, and you know, I was pleased with what I saw.
But that's really where we've been. He's the type of horse. He's won from 6 to 1 mile and 1/8, and to me, it looks like he really does this effortlessly.
Well, I think he does. I think he's a very talented horse. I think he likes doing what he's doing. He's kind of a happy horse. And, you know, when you push the button to breeze him, you know, he breezes good, does what you want to do. He doesn't overdo it. And you don't have to make him do it either. And, you know, he's easy on himself when he gallops and eats good, and he's a good keeper. So, you know, all those things are – makes my job a lot easier.
You only got the one race into him, like you mentioned, since that Discovery win last year, which might be his most impressive race to date. That Discovery was a real good effort. And then last time again, so effortless in the mud. He's worked a half a dozen times since. How's he coming into this?
All of his works, Tony, have been good. You know, I mean, I blew him out yesterday, and he blew out really, really well. And, you know, so I, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, like you were saying earlier, this is his second race in over a year. And that's not that easy to do, but I think he's fit enough. And, you know, we're just going to have to see what the weather does. I'm not really worried about an off track. You know, I mean, in any race, I wish it was a fast track, but it doesn't look like we're going to get that. Just for the safety of all the horses and you know, be a true run race. But I don't think that'll bother him, and, you know, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Does the rail draw bother you? He's never drawn inside. I know he's raced inside, but he's never drawn inside. That bother you at all?
Well, I mean, if you were to ask me, I'd rather have the 5 than the 1, but nothing I can do about it. I mean, he breaks. I think he'll break good, and when you got a rider like Rosario on him, he's going to put him where he needs to be. And the other day he was laid a little bit off the pace, and, you know, but he was there. And, you know, his race at Saratoga a year ago, when he won one other than, you know, he was way, way back from the outside. And that was a new experience for him. So, you know, I think that, you know, he's the kind of horse that you can put him where you want to put him and go from there. And I've got all the confidence in the world, and Rosario will have him where he needs to be.
I know you're not a huge presence on social media, but after he won the Discovery, Naira put up a head-on shot, and he put Tax away. Tax, very accomplished 3-year-old last year, and certainly a little bit more seasoned than Performer. They put up a head-on shot, and Twitter exploded with the two words that are gospel to a lot of people: easy goer. He looks a little bit like easy goer. The chestnut, obviously. Do you get this from people at all? Do they make that comparison to you at all?
Yeah, I hear it quite a bit, Tony, and I don't think that they're wrong. You know, I mean, he does. He's got the same kind of head with the white star, and he's chestnut. You know, I think he might be a little bit taller than easy goer was, but no, I can't deny what people think. I think they're right on.
That is Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, who took time to visit with the Big A Anthony Stabile yesterday on our race day show presented by Twin Spires, and some great comments from Shug. And the last one, they're talking about the comparisons that this horse draws to Easy Goer, one of Shug's greatest horses that he's ever trained, and one that he'll always remember. At least in appearance. Now, he's got a lot to do racing-wise to live up to Easy Goer. I don't think anybody's saying that he's Easy Goer in terms of what he's done on the racetrack yet. But he's talented. And should be interesting to see how he handles things coming up later this afternoon in that Cigar Mile. Again, Performer breaking from the inside post. You've heard from his jockey, Joel Rosario, and now his trainer, Hall of Famer Shug McGahee. Going to get to another break. I'll come back, get you set for the second half of the program when we turn our attention southward to Gulfstream Park. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
McKinsey, new for 2021 at Gainesway. The son of Kentucky Derby winner Street Sense, McKinsey was named a TDN Rising Star following his five-length debut victory at Santa Anita and was an undefeated Grade 1 winning two-year-old, the fastest juvenile of 2017. McKinsey scored four Grade 1 victories in his career with Grade 1 wins at 2, 3, and 4.
Furlong to go. McKinsey is in front. Axelrod set down by Joe Bravo. Mike Smith working on McKinsey. McKinsey holding on. Axelrod is full out. McKinsey is clear as they come down to the finish. Baffert, Smith, McKinsey, they've done it. McKinsey has it by two.
Coming to the final furlong, McKinsey's in front. Yoshida runs after him on the outside. Vino Rosso is third. McKinsey comes by the 16th pole, and he's going to do it. McKinsey has won the Whitney.
11 triple-digit buyer speed figures, earnings over $3.4 million. McKinsey standing at Gainesway.
James Brown and Bill Cowher welcoming you back to Dennis Melvin's house. It's time for the Midnight Snack Run.
This is one tricky obstacle course. Sticking to healthy habits in this kitchen is going to take focus and determination, but it can be done, JB.
He's already entered the snack part of the course, and he's eyeballing a jar of chocolatey candy.
That is tempting right off the start.
Uh-oh, he's reaching, Bill, but he pushes it away.
Great stiff arm.
He's approaching a plate of delicious-looking iced cookies.
Oh, Dennis, you only want one of those.
He blows right by him for the apple.
Oh, the fridge. It's make or break time, JB.
He stares down some rich-looking treats. Uh-oh, looks like he's headed for the soda. Wait, he jukes left, grabs the water bottle, and shuts the door with his elbow in record time.
Unbelievable move. I gotta see that again.
And he's out. He even turned off the light.
That's the way you execute a midnight snack run.
Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A quarter of a mile left to go. Saez hasn't moved his hands on Jesus' team yet. He went three quarters at a sharp 109-4, and Jesus' team tries to find another gear. He leads by two with just an eighth of a mile to go. Frank first down the center is up into second. Blue Ridge Mountain didn't kick on at all. The battle's for minor placings as Jesus' team is running it up the score now. Jesus' team with a sharp victory indeed. He'll win under jockey Luis Saez by four in the end. Frank first was second. Third was Dizzy Sight, and then Flute Maker.
Pete Aiello with the call of that claiming victory by Jesus' team. That came back on May 8th at Gulfstream Park. It was the ninth race of the afternoon that day, and Jesus' team, a former claimer, now grade one placed after that runner-up performance in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and he has put in other big efforts and greatest stakes, too, since being claimed, and a horse that started his career with my good friend Jose Garofalo, and now in the care of Jose Francisco D'Angelo, who's going to be with me coming up in just a moment or two, 9 o'clock Eastern. Acacia Courtney comes up 9:20 Eastern. She'll help preview that claiming crown card at Gulfstream today. And Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HBPA at 9:40. So a lot of claiming crown and Gulfstream discussion coming up in the second half of the show. The poll question today, so many of you taking the time to weigh in. I appreciate that. Who is your pick to win today's Cigar Mile? The last grade one of the season until we get to opening day at Santa Anita the day after Christmas. And right now, it's dead heat. gave you four choices. You could choose Performer, Firenze, Fire, King Guillermo, or Other. And if you choose Other, please specify. But right now, it's a dead heat between Performer and King Guillermo. Both of those runners receiving 36% of the vote. You heard Maggie Wolfendale-Morley in the first half of the show saying that she thought Firenze Fire might come out of the race if the track is sloppy, which is going to be with all the rain at Aqueduct today. For those of you who picked Other, and I appreciate the comments there, Mr. Buff getting a lot of respect. Mr. Buff. Yeah, a lot of replies here from Mr. Buff. Snapper Sinclair, that'll be music to the air, to the ears of my good friend Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing. Snapper Sinclair getting a vote too. But Performer, King Guillermo, the two horses that seem most popular now, and you can imagine that those will be the two horses taking a lot of money at the window later today too. All right, again, busy second half of the show. It begins with Jose Francisco D'Angelo talking about Jesus's team going to the post in today's Claiming Crown Jewel. That's next, right after I pause. 10 seconds for station identification on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Improbable, then global campaign, Tacitus, 'tis the law, all behind Authentic, who strides away in the Keeneland sunset for John Velasquez. Authentic has won the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic.
'Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, 'Tis the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Tarnawa is running fast down the center of the course. Tarnawa past Magical has caught Channel Maker. Tarnawa moves on by. Tarnawa and Colin Keane to win the Longines Turf. Order of Australia looking for a huge upset here. Order of Australia gets that upset at 73-1. For Pierre Charles Boudot, who's having quite a Breeders' Cup.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on. It's Saturday morning, December 5th, and happy to have you back with me. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Spent time looking at the Aqueduct races in the first half of the show. You heard from Maggie Wolfendale-Morley. You heard from jockey Joel Rosario and from Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahey. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program or any of our shows, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Well, you might be asking yourself, how on earth is Jesus's team, who last time out was second behind Nick's Go in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, eligible to compete in a Claiming Crown race later today on opening weekend of the Gulfstream Championship meet? Well, he's eligible because of the fact that he is a former claimer. He broke his maiden for a tag. You heard that call earlier. That was back on March 18th, and then came back and won a $25,000 claiming race on May 8th, his first start for new trainer Jose Francisco D'Angelo, and all he's done since then, well, he's been really impressive. A third in the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, a third in the Grade 1 Preakness, and then that runner-up in the Dirt Mile last time out. And I have the privilege now of welcoming in Jose Francisco D'Angelo to the program. Jose, first of all, thanks for taking the time and congratulations on all your success with this horse.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the invitation to your prestigious program. I am really happy and proud for the Jesus team results in last races. Jesus is a horse. He improved in between every race. I ran with him. He's every time showing up, you know. When he won with me first time for 25,000, next work after that race, he reads amazing. I call the owners. I say, hey, we have a great horse. I would like the opportunity to make the points to Kentucky Derby. I have a plan.
And the plan worked, you know, almost perfectly. You didn't make the Kentucky Derby, but you made the Preakness and ran huge in the Preakness. You mentioned his work, Jose, after he won for $25,000 the first time you saddled him, and he won so easy. What was it outside of that workout that gave you the confidence and said, okay, this horse isn't just a claimer. He could be a top great estates caliber type of horse.
Because when I received him, he were good, but you know, don't convince me in totally. After the race, after the way he won, and next race he raced the same day of Fils de Lau, and make the same time in Fort Fulham. I know in racing horses, the time, you know, maybe don't say if your horse is a snake or is a claiming horse. So the form in the way that Jesus did that, I see something special. So I call the owners. I call it the owners. I have the Alouance Bernardini with Sole Volante, Ete Indian, the best horses, 3-year-old of Florida. That race was our first step to make the plan to make the points to Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it worked. It worked perfectly. And then you come back with that huge effort in the Haskell. Now, I know you didn't crack the top three, but he was fourth behind Authentic, who, as we know, won the Kentucky Derby, won the Breeders' Cup, and very well could end up being Horse of the Year. You were only beaten 7 3/4 lengths. That effort in the Haskell, even though he didn't crack the top three, had to give you a lot of confidence to move forward.
Yes, yes. When I saw my horse in the Haskell, he looks very green, no professional inside, outside. After run the Haskell, our plan is run the Pegasus for the complement points to the Kentucky Derby, and he arrived second. I saw again Jesus green, you know, don't professional move not without confidence with Paco, and arrived second behind Pneumatic. For that race, I prefer, I decided, don't run the Kentucky Derby and put the blinkers and go to Jim Dandy.
Yeah, and of course he comes back with that third place effort in the Jim Dandy, just beaten a length and a half. The blinkers worked to perfection. Yes. He's had blinkers on ever since. He was third in the Preakness with the blinkers. He was second in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile with the blinkers as well, and now comes back as the likely favorite in the Claiming Crown Jewel, which, by the way, is his prep race for the $3 million Pegasus World Cup. You know, that's something, Jose, yeah, that's a bit unconventional, prepping in the Claiming Crown for the Pegasus. Tell me about that decision.
Yes, because when I was in Kentucky, I called the owners 1 week before Breeders' Cup. I say to him, hey, the horse is pretty good, pretty well for this race. I think we can win the race. So I need to make a plan now for the future of Jesus. And I would like to run the Cigar Mile. And he said, hey, I think the horse need a rest, need to come back to Florida. And, you know, I think the horse ran a lot this year. He need a easy spot for prep to Pegasus World Cup. It's the better way to don't give to Jesus a lot of workouts. So with this race, my regular plan to Pegasus, I think it's better for him.
Talking with Jose Francisco D'Angelo, who will saddle Jesus' team in today's Claiming Crown Jewel, the morning line favorite in that race. Jose, let's talk about you for a minute and let our listeners get to know you. You grew up in Venezuela, a former leading trainer there. You came to the United States, what, about a year ago or so? And having this type of success in a very short period of time.
Yes, I am from Venezuela. I have 30 years old. I was a champion in Venezuela before arriving to USA. I'm from for a horseman family. My father is a thoroughbred trainer horse. My grandfather is a journalist of the industry. He passed away this year. And in my new career in USA, always my father and my family support. I have a great team. I think it's the most important to can move in this country. This year I was in Kingland, Monmouth, Saratoga, with Jesus. My family and my father permit move and have great results in all places.
When you were growing up in Venezuela, did you eventually, or did you always think that you were going to find your way to the United States at some point?
In the deep, always think I will go to USA to training horses. It's my dream, you know, the big leagues of the sport what we love. For me it's a dream stay in the same paddock, saddle horses with Buffer, Asmussen, Fletcher. You know that this trainer, you know, you see from outside with great horses, American Faro, Justify, etc. Now can stay here in this level. For me, it's amazing. I feel blessed. I'm very proud of my team and our work.
You know, we've seen several trainers come from Venezuela and have a lot of success here in the United States, including my good friend Jose Garofalo, who is the trainer that got Jesus' team started with his career before being claimed and you took over the training duties. But what is it about the approach to training horses in Venezuela and the philosophy that has allowed Venezuelan-born trainers to come to the United States and have so much success?
I think Venezuela is a good school for horse people, trainers, and jockeys. In trainers, I think is because they don't have all the resources to work with a horse. And you learn a lot with a horse daily in the track, making horse, because in Venezuela the claim it's not common. It's not common. You know, the only way that you have a horse is since a filly or colt, and you make the horse. I think in making horses is when you really learn how to train a horse.
Well, Jose, listen, all the best with Jesus' team and all of your horses, but Jesus' team is in the spotlight later today, so all the best with him. Really appreciate the visit and letting our listeners get to know you a little bit, and continued success, my friend. Well done.
Thank you, my friend. For me, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the support. I am very sure today Jesus is going to have a great race. in the future, he going to Pegasus and the best race at the top of the world.
Jose, before I let you go, let me just say this to you as well. I was remiss. Because of the success that you have had in very short order since coming to the United States, I thought it was appropriate that I make you our industry star of the week on the show for this Saturday morning. This segment, this interview, is brought to us by Stuart Morris, who is a consigner at all the major sales around the country, and he sponsors this industry star of the week interview, and I think it's appropriate, considering your success, that we make you our industry star of the week. So congratulations on that honor, and again, continued success moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. For me, it's an honor to stay here. Thank you again.
All right. Jose Francisco D'Angelo with me on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, yeah, that interview brought to you by my good friend Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows that his success is absolutely because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and South Bend, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. Fantastic story. Jose Francisco D'Angelo has done a great job with Jesus's team. And to go ahead and move him into that allowance race and take a shot based on what he saw in a workout, and then to be vindicated when he finishes second. It was an optional claimer, $100,000 race. He's second to Sole Volante. I think he knew at that point back in June that he had something special. And you heard him talk about getting in touch with the owners, Grupo 7C Racing, saying, hey, I have a plan that can get us to the Kentucky Derby. Then he had to shift gears when he realized, okay, we're not going to make the Derby. Let's not rush it, and let's go to the Preakness. Very wise decision. He was rewarded with a huge runner-up effort in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile by Jesus's team. And, again, the favorite in today's claiming crown jewel, all things being equal, who move on to the Pegasus World Cup. But it's a great story, and congratulations to Jose Francisco D'Angelo, who, by the way, goes by Kikito to his friends. So if you ever see him, you can call him Kikito. He'll enjoy that, too. All right, going to go ahead and get to another break. When I come back, we'll talk more about the Claiming Crown races, and we'll look ahead to the championship meet. I'll do that with Gulfstream analyst Acacia Courtney. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
DeMarshall Yeh offers breeders a rare opportunity. Out of a full sister to champions Yesterday and Quarter Moon, his picture-perfect pedigree includes 8 Grade 1 winners under the first 3 dams. A winner in his 2-year-old debut at Aqueduct, he was named a TDN Rising Star. He captured a decisive victory at Keeneland and won the Grade 3 Pennine Ridge Stakes at Belmont. The only son of top sire Dubawi standing in Kentucky, DeMarshall Yeh standing at Claiborne Farm.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Bobby Newman joins me to bring you all of the fall and winter action from places like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Best Players, and Thoroughbred Racing. That's Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The rest not of consequence with 5/16 to run. On the outside, Tiz the Law bids up boldly now to challenge Ete Indian for the top. Chivalry at a huge number cuts the corner and tries to fight on. Gouverneur Morris is loose and charging on the far outside. Less than a quarter of a mile to go. Manny Franco sets down Tis the Law, and he's moving away. Shivery is now outrunning Ette Indian for second. Gouverneur Morris is now fourth. Less than a 16th to go in the Florida Derby, and it's time to respect the law. Tis the Law is your Florida Derby winner. He won by three over Shivery second, Ette Indian third, then Gouverneur Morris and Independence Hall to complete the high five in 150 flat.
That's the way it sounded last year at Gulfstream Park. Tis the Law. Pete Aiello had the call of the Florida Derby. A huge, huge effort. And, of course, it stamped him as one of the favorites, if not the favorite, the horse to beat along the road to the Triple Crown. Massive, massive win for Tis the Law. And the Florida Derby, always a signature event of the Triple Crown season and the highlight of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. That comes up March 27th, 2021. I don't have a countdown for you on that one, but it'll be here before we know it, and nobody knows that better than Acacia Courtney, the little A, an HRRN alum who now does a fantastic job as an analyst on Fox Sports. She works in New York. She also works at Gulfstream Park, and she is with me now here on the network. Acacia, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, as always, and happy opening weekend of the Gulfstream Park Championship Meet.
Yeah, huge weekend, too. This is, you know, I can remember even when I was a kid growing up in Western Massachusetts that the start of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park for me was a highlight because, you know, you'd start to all of a sudden, even though it's early, you'd start to start thinking about the Kentucky Derby and mm-hmm. that road to the Derby, which Florida is always so prevalent in producing Kentucky Derby winners and starters. And so for me, this time of year, kicking off the championship meet is always a lot of fun.
It is, and I mean, even look at the likes of Swiss Skydiver, who won the Gulfstream Park Oaks this year, and she was kind of an unknown and an upset back in March when she took that race and then went on to have the amazing campaign that she did. And, of course, Tis the Law, like you mentioned, coming back. There's two strong two-year-old races on the turf today, but kind of like kicking off the meet with, hey, these are the horses that are going to be big players when we get into the start of 2021, which is crazy. It's coming up really quickly, but it really is, I think, such a good meet in setting up for horses that we're going to see on the biggest of stages. Of course, these are hugely important races, but a lot of people don't realize that Florida has one of the most lucrative Triple Crown prep trails, and we've seen some top horses do that. Of course, being able to follow Swiss Skydiver and Tis the Law this year has been awesome.
You know, you are extremely popular with a lot of people in the horse racing industry, and they will tune in to watch you on television and see your insight and selections. They haven't been able to do that so far at Gulfstream Park. You've mm-hmm. had plenty of time on your hands to handicap, so I'm expecting good picks today. We'll get into that in a minute, but fill people in on why you have not been on camera at Gulfstream quite yet.
Yes, it's the Stronic Group protocol. Since I did travel down from New York, I'm in the state of Florida, and I'm back with Gulfstream. I've been doing picks. You can find my picks on the Gulfstream Park website. But I am in quarantine due to abundance of caution with the COVID-19 pandemic. I got a test upon arriving in the state of Florida and tested negative. So I'm doing fine, and thank you for people that have reached out. But it is just an abundance of caution, and it's a responsibility, too. I travel by train down from New York to Florida, and because of, again, the protocols, I have to stay in quarantine for 8 to 10 days, be tested again, and then I'll be able to come back on track. So hopefully, if everything goes smoothly, I'm due to be tested again on Monday, and we'll hopefully join the team back as long as we have test results back on time, back Wednesday or Thursday of next week. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into it. But to my colleagues, to everybody else at the track, it's a responsible thing to do and taking the virus seriously, and it is Gulfstream Park protocol, and just making sure that everybody that's on track is doing things the right way so that we can continue to conduct safe and healthy racing.
And I told you she was popular. You can follow her on social media at Acacia _Courtney on Twitter. That's A-C-A-C-I-A _Courtney is the way to keep in touch with her, her selections, and all of her insight at Gulfstream Park and other places as well up in New York where she works as well. Acacia, I noticed you have over 26,000 followers now on Twitter. I think when you started working with us on the radio, I think you had 26 followers. So you've done much better since leaving the HRN family.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I'm really grateful for all of the people that follow along with this crazy thing called life and the world of horse racing. And I'm so fortunate that I get to do the championship meet down at Gulfstream, that I get to cover Saratoga, the fall championship meet at Belmont, just such top quality racing throughout the whole year. I really am so lucky and to work for two companies that really have invested in me and continue to give me some more opportunity to grow, and to have started off with a company like HRRN that still lets me come back every now and again, which is always nice.
Yeah, you can always come home. There's no doubt about that. all right, let's talk some racing here, some Claiming Crown. 9 Claiming Crown stakes on tap for this afternoon. It kicks off early with race number 2, which is the Claiming Crown Glass Slipper. And I guess we'll just take them one by one. We'll skip through each one and see if we can get through all 9 before we have to wrap it up. But let's start with the Glass Slipper. 1 mile on the main track. I'm assuming the weather is nice at Gulfstream this afternoon.
It is. Yeah, we're very lucky about that. That's the good thing about being down here in Florida. It'll be a high of about 80. A little bit of shower is expected later on in the afternoon, but nothing serious. That's just Florida, but looks like a beautiful day on tap.
All right. How do you see the Glass Slipper?
Well, we have the defending champion in Liza Starr, who will be stretching back out. She won this race last year at a bit of an upset. I had my questions about her going a mile last year, and that's still kind of the question I have this year, as I see her more of a 6-7 furlong type sprinter, and sometimes horses who have that early speed can really extend it a little bit longer than it may look like on paper down at Gulfstream. It is a track that's very kind to horses with early speed. So she's stretching back out for Peter Walder, who does have a couple. She's obviously the horse to beat, but I prefer one who will be a little bit of a better price and who I think we know can handle the distance. In fact, it's turning back a bit. That's the 6 Sky Chaser. I love seeing trainer Ron Spatz just having a spectacular year, batting just under 20%. A guy that really knows what he's doing and just sometimes doesn't have the stock in his barn, but it looks like this year he does. And this filly, she's a little bit more tactical. She could sit a good trip, as there should be some other speed from the outside to keep Liza Starr comfortable on the front end. And it's important to note, too, that horses going a mile last time out at Gulfstream Park West, that's a 2-turn mile. So she's actually turning back to the 1-turn today to go the 1-turn mile at Gulfstream. And I think she'll suit that quite well, as she had an impressive win at the distance, 2 back, and should get a nice trip today under Paco Lopez.
All right, again, the Glass Slipper is race number 2. 12:30 Eastern is the post. As a matter of fact, the first race of the afternoon goes at noon, so keep that in mind. Race number 4 is...
And no post drag anymore.
No post. I mentioned that at the top of the show. I love it. That was something that was always kind of stuck with me. I never really cared for the whole post drag thing, but I think this is a fantastic decision.
And props to Aiden Butler, who will be coming back to Florida. And he's done a tremendous job with his position in the Stronach Group. I've gotten to work closely with him on several projects, and that was something he's been after for a while. And he told me before opening day, watch what time the races go off. So big props to Aiden.
Yeah, fantastic decision. Race 4 is the Claiming Crown Express, 6 furlongs on the main track. What do you think? Who wins that one?
I landed on a horse that's just coming out of Plain and Simple, some tougher races. The 1 Cristo Sky for Carlos David, 2nd in the Grade 3 Smile, 2 starts back, ran in a very tough, though it might have been a short field, it was a very tough rendition of the DeFrancis Dash up on the Preakness undercard last time out. You can even see the top 3 finishers were all separated by a nose. It was a really, really tough field. So certainly some class relief, and that's the cool thing about the Claiming Crown. I mean, this was a horse that was claimed for $16,000 on the turf, found his home sprinting on the dirt, and now is graded stakes place. So you'll see some big horses like that who have kind of found their stride, so to speak. I mean, we saw Starship Jubilee in the Claiming Crown in the past, too. So that's one of the things I really like about this day. So I always try to find some horses that have really stepped up, found their stride. So I prefer that one from the inside, Cristo Sky. I ride Ortiz down in Florida to ride. And of the speeds, I thought the speed of the speed was the six long blade. As Mike Maker, as always on Claiming Crown Day, I think he claims horses just to run in the Claiming Crown because he claimed long blade last time out. And this one looks to be the speed of the speed and could be a big part to potentially grab a share in here.
Yeah, looking to add to that record 17 victories in the Claiming Crown is Mike Maker, and he's loaded again this year. The Claiming Crown Distaff Dash follows the Express. That's race number five. Five furlongs on that turf course at Gulfstream, which should be a firm turf course. Good luck with this one. How'd you see it?
Oh, once again, Mike Maker holds a very strong hand. His Jakarta, she has been, again, running in Graded Stakes Company. Third behind Got Stormy in Graded Stakes Company, sprinting at Keeneland, two starts back. But she's eligible for this race, having won back at Penn National for 22,000 non-winners of two. So she's the speed of the speed in here. A horse that is going to be a price, but I really like and shows up every time is the number one, Unicoi. She ran at Laurel two starts back, and I remember covering the race the last time out on Churchill. She's a turf sprinter. She's getting back to the grass today. She ran here in Florida in the Distaff Dash last year and was beaten by half a length. She's just one of these mares that I think just always shows up. I hope that there could be a little bit more speed. There could be a case where Jakarta will get loose on the front end. But props to Ollie Ziggins for consistently bringing this tough mare down. I think she fits perfectly in here. And she's one that always tends to fly beneath the radar. She's a Maryland Mid-Atlantic invader. She's not one of the Florida horses coming down and for maybe a more lower profile barn as far as Florida is concerned. But Ollie does a great job in the Mid-Atlantic, and I think his mare has a big chance in here.
Visiting with Acacia Courtney, you heard her talk earlier about being in quarantine. She is fine. She does not have COVID. She is tested negative, but she is required by the StrongNet Group to be in quarantine. You'll see her back on camera very soon at Gulfstream Park. So she's done her handicapping, and that includes race number six, which is the Claiming Crown Jewel. And we heard from Jose Francisco D'Angelo, the trainer of the favorite in there, Jesus's team, in the previous segment. He's fired up. He thinks this horse is extremely talented. He's 100% right. He's the horse to beat in there. Is it Jesus's team and everybody else, or do you see an upset?
You know, I looked at this race for a long time, and the only one that I thought really had the biggest chance to potentially pull an upset was Jack Sisterson's runner, Dax Daniels. He's one that also, again, ran for maiden 30,000, broke his maiden in an off-the-turf race. And then lately, I mean, even though he went for 52 back, ran a good third last time out behind Rocketry in the TAA, formerly the Breeders' Cup Marathon on Breeders' Cup weekend. So he's coming in very good form, too. That said, I've gotten to follow Jesus's team throughout the last couple of months. I saw him running the Jim Dandy at Saratoga. Spent a lot of time with Jose Francisco and Jesus himself at the Preakness. As I was out every morning spotting horses and interviewing connections, and then at the Breeders' Cup as well. And this horse just shows up every single time. He's a beautifully put together horse, and seeing him from the end of 2019 to now, Jose has done a fantastic job in bringing him along. And as one does, this is a prep for the Pegasus World Cup and the Claiming Crown, which I just think is awesome. So not only am I rooting for the horse, I think he deserves to get in the winner's circle in a race like this, in a spotlight like this, but I think that he just has the class edge of what he's been facing in this race.
Is he the only potential World Cup starter in the Jewel today?
I think so. I mean, you never know. Props to Jack and Calumet Farm. They'll take shots in some big races, so maybe we might see the likes of Dax Daniels in there. But and same thing with Dale Romans. Maybe this is a prep for Storm Runner, as we did see him in the Fountain of Youth in Florida Derby last year. But as far as I know, Jesus's team, all along, the goal has been to run in the Pegasus, because he has just been showing up in all of these big races, not just against three-year-olds, but second in the dirt mile behind Nick Sko. I think that that really kind of stamped him as a major contender and being able to face some older horses. Plus, with his running style, a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream should suit him perfectly.
All right, race seven is the Claiming Crown Emerald, mile and a 16th on the turf course. What do you think?
Well, I had a tough time with this one, but I guess the toughest part is that you just try to decide which of the five Mike Maker runners you like best. And Temple does seem to be the class of the field as far as his last win came down here at Gulfstream, going a mile in an eighth, and then he tried the Fort Marcy against Instilled Regard. He's been facing some really tough horses, and while he may on paper look a little bit like he's off form in general in some of those big races, he's really never run a bad race because he's just been running against some monster horses. So I think that he's going to be the horse to beat in here, perhaps, if you're looking for a non-maker. The question I have is, what are we going to get from the number six, Tusk? I will say, when he upset to win the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby, after finishing third in the Emerald last year, that was at a time when Staffy Joseph Jr. was just on an unbelievable roll at Gulfstream. We always talk about the ups and downs of trainers and their standings, and it seemed everything that Staffy was sending out at that time was winning, and that showed with Tusk. We haven't seen him since January. That said, Staffy never really has a lull down in Florida. Does incredibly well and very sharp with claiming horses, too. So if this horse is ready off of a layoff and runs like he did last year, he could be a big player, too. He has some speed, but not a need the lead type, which will be key in a big field like this on the turf.
All right, five down, four to go. I have, about 3 minutes or so left, Acacia, so we got 3 minutes to get through four races. We'll do them quickly. I guess it's appropriate, then, that we start with the Rapid Transit. 7 furlongs on the main track. What do you think?
Well, that's good. I like a long shot in here. The 9, Joe DiBaggio, my long shot play of the day. On numbers, might have to step up a bit, but Carlos David does a great job, and I think this guy, I believe he's 10 or 12 to 1 in the morning line, should sit a nice trip off the pace.
And the 9th race is the Claiming Crown Tierra, a race that should be near and dear to your heart.
That's right. I like this one quite a bit. Staffy Joseph Jr. once again has a horse to the class. Sugar Fix on the outside will be the one to beat. I still like the 5 Queens Embrace, though. Off the claim for Danny Gargan could prove to be a very fruitful claim as she ran a huge race in the Grade 2 Lake Placid up at Saratoga.
All right. That's race 9. Race 10, the Claiming Crown Canterbury, $90,000 race, 5 furlongs on the turf course.
And this will be another one where we'll have a very short price with the likes of Faya in there. I think Tiger Blood for Mike Maker is the other quote-unquote star in the field that Faya has faced so far, but I think he is very, very good as he demolished that field at Belmont and a big win in Maryland Million last time.
And we wind it all down and wrap it up with race number 11, the final race of the day, 5:06 Eastern. Again, no post-time drag. The Claiming Crown Iron Horse for the 3-year-olds and up, mile and a 16th on the main track. How'd you see that one?
I landed on the 3, Bobby G, for Jonathan Maldonado, another one coming in from Maryland. He won the Claiming Crown Prep Day the day before the Preakness at Pimlico, and that sparked a 3-race win streak. He's in great form right now, and he loves the distance.
Acacia Courtney, ladies and gentlemen. Acacia, you're such a pro. Really appreciate the visit here this morning. Thanks for always taking the time, and look forward to seeing you back on camera very shortly.
Of course, Mike. Thank you so much.
All right, that interview, as all of our interviews on this show are, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. When I come back, I'll talk with Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HPPA. He'll tell you the impact that the Claiming Crown has on horsemen across the board. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all 3 Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home! Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War! Will Take Charge and Final Man! Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced 2 first crop grade 1 winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred, Mucho Unusual, all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
the number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
Championship meet is back at Gulfstream Park, December 2nd through March 28th, with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Thoroughbred stakes action continues with Claiming Crown December 5th, Fort Lauderdale December 12th, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup on January 23rd, and much more. Stay in the action from your mobile phone with the First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. On-site viewing is still closed to the public, but you can watch the racing action and get more information at GulfstreamPark.com.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they run to the top of the stretch, three quarters, 111 and 3, Max KO throws out the anchor, and now Hieroglyphics is up to take the lead. It's Tusk who cries for racetrack as Mugs-O-Matic gets started on the outside. Eighth of a mile to go. Mugs-O-Matic for Paco Lopez has now moved to a clear lead. Down the center, Appreciato is lifting late with Tusk, but as they come home for the wire, Paco on fire, and Mugs-O-Matic, your Claiming Crown Emerald winner. Second is Appreciato, third is Tusk, and fourth is Patriot Drive in 141 flat.
Well, Mugs-O-Matic, one of a few defending champions back in the Claiming Crown this year. Big win in the Claiming Crown Emerald in 2019. And we'll get a chance to visit with Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HPPA, here in just a moment. He is. We are efforting Eric as we speak. Lee, you can go ahead. He just sent me a message. He's standing by, ready to roll. So we'll try to get a hold of Eric here and have him to talk about what this day and this program means to horsemen across the board. Not just, look, I mean, I told you at the top of the show, this is the blue-collar Breeders' Cup, if you will. And for years when we broadcast these races on the network, I always reference that this is a day for the blue-collar horses, the true backbone of our sport. And to be able to compete for money like this is a real feather in their cap and a feather in the cap of everybody surrounding Claiming Crown who has worked so hard to put this event together for 20-some-odd years now. And Eric Hamelback is with me, the CEO of the National HPPA. Eric, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate being on. It's a great day.
How was the football game last night?
It was a very good game. St. X and North Hardin still over in Elizabethtown. We spent the night. It was a really well-played game. Both teams did great. Very professional group of student-athletes and a great officiated game. So, not just saying that because I was on the field.
Yeah, wait a minute here. Wait. You can't go talking about the officials when you were an official.
Right.
Eric the Tiger, Eric Hamelback here on the Horse Race. Hey, by the way, who won the game?
St. X. Yeah, St. X
right.
Won.
Yeah. All right, St. X defeating North Hardin, for those of you keeping up with the high school sports here in Kentucky. Let's go to the Claiming Crown, man. I talk about this being the blue-collar Breeders' Cup, and I know you'll echo those sentiments. This is a day that's really special for a lot of horsemen on a lot of levels.
It really is, Mike. I mean, ultimately, and you said it in the intro, the backbone of racing certainly defines this group of horses. When you look at and how we try to encourage, you know, claiming your way to ownership, unfortunately, with the pandemic this year, we weren't able to do our owner seminar with TOBA that we've done for the last couple of years. But really, when you look at the ability to claim a horse and get into the game with some instant gratification and have the ability to point towards these races, I think it is certainly an avenue that we want more people to experience and get into. And I actually believe Acacia when she said it earlier. You know, I think, actually, I know Mike Maker looks at horses and claims them based on getting them to these races. So I think it's a wonderful event. An unbiased opinion there, but it's a wonderful event. I hate that first time in 6 years that I'm not down there. But obviously this is a different year. But the, you know, people consider the impact of racing with this group. And a lot of people say it wraps up the year. I actually think it kicks off the new year. I mean, to me, Breeders' Cup, you know, that's what everybody's pointing towards the end of the year. This is, with the championship meet and what Billy Badgett and Mike Lacow have done at Gulfstream, this kicks off the new year. That's the way I see it. And this catapults horses that are those blue-collar horses into big races next year.
This event was held at Canterbury Park for many, many years before moving to Gulfstream eventually, and Gulfstream's been a wonderful home for the Claiming Crown. It just seems tailor-made to host an event like this, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm glad you framed it that way, because for me, the from an emotional standpoint, the 10th and 11th races today, you know, both races will have tears in my eyes, because the 10th, of course, is the Tom Metzen, the Canterbury going 5 furlongs on the turf. Tom Metzen was a great mentor, amazing horseman, did everything he could to get this Claiming Crown off and running. And then to wrap it up with the Kent Sterling, for God's sakes, the Iron Horse couldn't be more tailor-made for Kent. Instrumental in getting the races with the Florida HBPA to Gulfstream, was a huge champion for the event. Not being able to be down there and have dinner with Sherry, his wife, that's painful as well. But then you look at the horses that are in here. You know, I'm hanging my hat on Bobby G, who's made 42 starts, but then you've got horses with 65 starts, 47, 48 starts. I mean, These are the horses that make people want to be in this game. And so to have the Tom Metzen and the Kent Sterling back-to-back, again, I have to thank Billy and Mike and Eric Friedman. My God, what a great job he's done as the stakes coordinator, putting all this together. So, that's a great framework that you put it in there, because of how it began and what it's evolved to, Mike.
Yeah, let's face it. These are the horses that fill the entry boxes week in and week out throughout the year. And all due respect to the Authentics of the world and the Tis the Laws of the world and these
right.
graded stakes performers. Yes, if you can hit a home run in this sport, and as an owner, you can be lucky enough to be involved and fortunate enough to be involved with a horse like that, then it is the it's the whipped cream on top, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, and again, as a breeder myself, right? Midway Point Thoroughbred. You know, one of the most gratifying was an allowance win at Lone Star Park with a filly that I bred by Milwaukee Brew. That sort of feeling is there for every win. And when you look at, 3% of racing is graded stakes, that leaves you with 97% of the rest of the races. And as you said, the Tuesday, Thursday wins are just as important to an owner as the Saturday wins. And so, you know, for us, having this showcase and ultimately, you know, having people realize claiming your way to ownership is an amazing gratification. And, yeah, if you get one of these horses that goes on into a Triple Crown race or a Breeders' Cup race, it's a whip, you know, certainly a whipped cream on top sort of feeling. But winning a race as an owner, it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, I've told that story many times about the horses that we've been part of, never owned, you know, 100%, but we got involved with horses, and just the feeling of winning any race, it doesn't matter what that is, if you could take it, bottle it, and market it, this would be the easiest sport in the world to market, because that feeling is like a drug, and you want it more and more and more. Have you seen, Eric, is there a correlation or any parallel to an increase in ownership of any kind that you've seen from these claiming crown races? And I guess what I mean by that is, are there people that have gotten involved in the sport that maybe otherwise wouldn't, but they do because they can claim a horse and have an opportunity to run for this kind of money in an event like the claiming crown?
Yeah, I would not lie and say we've kept statistical references, but absolutely. Yeah. And I want to think, you know, if you go back to the Distaff Dash, the Avril Racing team and Matisse Racing, Rich Avril and Georgiana Baxter, they're coming back with Thinking Cowtown. That's the same connections as was the 2019 National HBPA Claiming Horse of the Year, Ladies Island, which unfortunately we didn't get to do a trophy presentation because of the pandemic canceling our conference. But again, that ownership group, they've been huge in championing this event, along with Peter Walder. He's been amazing. Obviously, Mike Maker. These guys are constant talking the positive effects of getting into this game via the claiming ranks and moving into races this way. So yes, I definitely think this has an impact on getting more people buying horses, and ultimately even, you know, now having the benefit of a lot of these clubs, the racing clubs, which have been spectacular for the industry, you get the spinoffs now, right? You'll have some smaller groups that'll come together, or singular people that want to do more. So I do think it's opened a lot of eyes, and I think it's going to be a benefit going forward even more so. We've got to get owners. We've got to keep horse players happy, and we've got to get more owners into the industry.
Yeah, amen to that. Talking with Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HBPA. You can go to nationalhbpa.com to learn about all of the initiatives and the things that they are working on and all the great work that they do. Eric, I've got about 2 minutes before I have to get to this final commercial break, but this has been an extremely challenging year on a lot of levels for a lot of people, not just in the horse business, but a lot of people impacted by what we've seen with this pandemic globally and certainly here in the United States.
Yeah.
Look ahead to 2021. What are some of the things that you want people to know about the National HBPA and some of the initiatives going forward?
Well, without question, Mike, we want to continue to promote the industry in the positive light. Obviously, again, 2020 has been challenging, and a lot of reasons have pointed towards negativity. And I think you know me well enough. One of my first op-eds was, where's the positive? We need to make sure, you know, and you do a great job at it. Steve Vick does a great job at it, promoting the positive. To me, moving the industry forward is going to be a must. I mean, we're going to continue to work hard on uniformity, which is the catchphrase that's developed over the last couple of years. But, you know, we want it to be fair, balanced, and have common sense. But ultimately, I think for me, the biggest challenge is letting horsemen, professional horsemen, help dictate safety policies. And we need to be promoting the industry in a positive light. And we need to get together and move this industry into positivity and try to keep it that way in order to make sure that we continue to stay successful.
Very well said. Eric Hamel back here on HRRN. Eric, listen, appreciate the visit. As always, this interview brought to our listeners by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And I know you got up early to join me here because it was a late night for you. I appreciate that. And keep up the great work with the HBPA. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Mike. Thank you. Thanks to Michelle and all the great work you guys do. You know how much I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, right back at you. Eric Hamill back here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, busy show. Just about ready to wrap it up for you. I'm going to do that when I come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
And they're into the stretch with Spun to Run, the wonder catch coming to the eight pole. Spun to Run drifting out with the lead. Blue Chipper on the inside is second. Omaha Beach has made his way up into third, but Spun to Run has run away. Herod Ortiz and Spun to Run, the real deal of the dirt mile. They won it by 3.5 lengths.
Gainesway Stallion Spun to Run. In the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, he defeated a loaded field that included multiple Grade 1 winners, Omaha Beach and Improbable. His brilliant speed figures were among the fastest of any 3-year-old at a mile or more, while earning multiple triple-digit buyers up to 110 and running a zero on the thoroughgrass 5 times. Spun to Run hails from the legendary Danzig sire line, a multiple graded stakes winner, millionaire, and Breeders' Cup champion. Great milers make great stallions. Spun to Run, standing at Gainesway.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, don't miss the December 5th issue of Blood Horse Magazine. The features include Irishman John Ox, trainer of See the Stars, who retires after 41 years. You can read about Frank's Roquette, who took Frank Fletcher to the next sphere, and hopeful in Texas. Sam Houston Race Park and Texas Racing are definitely on the rise. And then Jay Hovde's The Final Turn, writing about riders. All of that in the December 5th issue of Blood Horse Magazine. Download a copy of the issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play. And don't miss their special going on right now that includes a free 2021 Blood Horse calendar. You can go to bloodhorse.com/winter special to learn more. Well, poll question today, who is your pick to win the Cigar Mile at Aqueduct? 36% of the vote coming in for King Guillermo. He edges out Performer, the morning line favorite, who gets 34%. So, and again, Mr. Buff getting a lot of play, too, for those of you who chose the other tab in there. My thanks to Maggie Wolfendale Morley, Joel Rosario, Jose Francisco D'Angelo, Acacia Courtney, and Eric Hamelback for joining me on the show and making this show possible. If you missed any portion, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure. Follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. For my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studio, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Pena. Thanks for listening, and yeah, I'm back. Go Steelers!